We gathered here, Lord, because, Father, you advised us to do that. And Lord, you promised that whenever we do this, that you will be in our midst. We know, Father, you cannot fail to fulfill your word, Lord. So we hear, Father, and we pray, for that you take over the meeting, Lord God, and speak to us. You're the greatest person here in our midst, Lord. Your word, Lord God, is the best thing that our ears can hear. Father, you know how to drive it even to the hearts of the people, Father. You know how to interpret it, Lord God, to the needs of every heart. We are sure that, Lord God, you're going to do the same tonight, Lord. Comfort us, Father, especially Rebecca, Lord God. I'm happy to see her here, Lord. And the things that, Lord God, they've been going through with the mom, Lord. Father, we are thankful, the Lord, you've given her strength, Lord. We commit all things to thee now, Lord. And we trust, Father, that you're going to speak to our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Let me get seated. Sister, God bless you. Nice to see you. And I've not seen you for a long time, Sister Sharon. How are you? You know, I have a daughter called Sharon. you need to meet with her. She's in Germany. She might visit me, I don't know. And Kenyans here are getting more than the Americans, it looks like. Eh? Looks like I'm going to take over. But, thank you for seeing Atom. I've not seen Atom for a long time. May God bless you. it just colors. It just colors. We are the same. We are the same. Maybe I might have been born in Kenya, but maybe I don't even belong in Kenya. Who knows? Like that. We are all from another kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. That's where we come from. That's where all we come from, Lord. Brother, and we are going back there. We're going back to where we come from. And that was from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a long one, and I may not be able even to read everything. But if you look at my quotes over there, those quotes, for those who have the quotes, most of them, some of them are my kind of... so don't take my interpretation. I would call it my interpretation or my way of looking at it. This subject is a very interesting subject. Because I'm using the quotes that you people know. I'm using the quotes that you people know. But to me, I'm placing them somewhere else. I'm placing them somewhere else. I'm seeing this in the light of what the prophet says about the 144 or about the two witnesses. Because if you look what we're seeing on Sunday, and I'm going to go back a bit, to show you something, to say something there. But if you see what we are saying on Sunday, we were saying that the two witnesses, and I think that was very clear, the two witnesses are not two people that will go to Israel, according to the prophet. But it's called the mystery of the two witnesses. The mystery of the two, so it's a mystery. So that mystery has got to be... is it called demystifying or something? It's got to be opened. It's got to be revealed. It's a mystery of the two witnesses. If it was just two men, it could not have been a mystery. But now it's a mystery. It's a mystery that needs to be opened. And God found it fit that he can talk in mysteries and he can talk in parables like that, such that people cannot hear. Some people are not supposed to hear and they're not here. So tonight, it's just the same thing. Now we know from here, now we know who the two witnesses were, Moses and Elijah. There were not two guys that went there. There's not guys. You know, there's the Brother Mwangi. Brother Mwangi told me, Brother Mwangi Gikoyo, he stayed in this house. He told me that he thought, I think he's changed now, I think, but he told me that he believed that this guy called Soto Santiago. So Santiago is a great guy. I'm not bringing him down or anything. But he told me that, and he went out of, and we had some churches in Kenya that he used to be a leader of, and those churches believed that Mwangi was one of them who was following him at that time. I think he's changed something. I don't know. The way I listen to him is like he changed a bit now. So he told me that Soto Santiago must be the one that was the two witnesses. Now, they've come to realize it was supposed to be one person. Now, but the one person that was supposed to go to Israel and preach to 144,000, because after the two witnesses preach, they will get 144,000 Israelites that are Jewish, that are going to accept Jesus Christ. You know, they have not accepted Jesus Christ, and they have actually, they're Judaic, they're Judaism, they have Judaism. So they don't believe that Messiah come. They're still waiting for the Messiah. And such. So now, Soto Santiago was allowed in the Nesit. I think it's called Nesit, Kinesit or something. K-N-E-E-S-T, Nesit. It's the parliament of, I think, of Israel. And they don't allow nobody, but they allowed him to get in and address them, Soto Santiago. So he declared him, or they thought that that is actually the one that is going to called the 144 Jews. The problem with that is Soto Santiago was putting himself in the capstone. And the two witnesses, look here, according to me and according to the way we read on Sunday, the two witnesses are not in the capstone. It's not about the capstone. It's before the capstone. They come to call, listen very carefully, they come to call, the two witnesses come to call the 144,000 to accept Christ. The atonement, that is their work. So it's not actually, they're not here. But they get in there. Whoever they are, they get in there. When Jesus Christ comes, they accept him. They were the ones who introduced him. Now, the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, we discovered they were simply the Bible, the Old and New Testament. That's what it's called. That's what the prophet called them. The Bible, the Old and New Testament. When the prophet come and brought the Old and New Testament back here, and revealed it. I think we had accepted that. That's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's the Bible when it was fulfilled. The Old and New Testament, when it was fulfilled, that was Moses and Elijah. Praise be to God. I think that's very clear. And the prophet explained it very well. He said, you see, Moses had to be there. Moses represented the Old Testament. Elijah had to be there. He represented the New Testament. And he said, do you remember when Elijah was here? He was with the Jews. He was a Jew. But you remember he was actually dealing with the Jezebels. You remember that? And exactly what Elijah came, when Elijah or Malachi 4 came, that's exactly what he was doing. He was dealing with the Jezebels, telling them, you got to wear clothes, you got to treat like that, women and like that. Praise be to God. So you remember that. Simply put, is the Old and New Testament when it is revealed, when it's opened, when it's fulfilled. Who was to do that? William Marion Branham is the angel of the seventh angel that is prophesied to do it in Revelation 10, verse 7, when he reveals it. He will reveal all the mysteries that are written in the Bible by the prophets. Praise be to God. That's what it says. So when he does that, that is Moses and Elijah right there. Introducing. You remember, that was also introducing the bride. Remember, that was also introducing the church to Jesus Christ when he came. Remember that? And that's why he was called Jezebel. I'm just going back to what I was saying on Sunday. You remember Jerubbaal? We talked about Jerubbaal. Jerubbaal, who founded the foundation of the church and put the and introduced the capstone. He didn't put the capstone, but he introduced the capstone. Praise be to God. I hope you get that. So he brought this back to the foundation, and he was called Jerubbaal. That's exactly the Bible, the whole Bible. And he said Jerubbaal was the two witnesses. The seventh angel was the two witnesses. All that is the two witnesses. But it's not the person of William Marion Branham. It's what he brought. That message of restoration. I think that was very clear. Is that right? Now, if anybody asks you, who are the two witnesses? Who are the two witnesses? It's the Bible. The Old and New Testament, simple. You know, I loved Brother Genk very much. He used to say that. He used to say it. Who are the two witnesses? He said, the Bible, the Old and New Testament. Simple. The Old and New Testament. People are waiting for two men to go to Israel. It's not. It's the Bible. When it was fulfilled, that was actually, that was Elijah and Moses. I think it's very clear. Introducing, remember, the Jews did not accept the Messiah. And they have lived like that, not agreeing that the Messiah come. They don't know the Messiah. Praise God. The atonement. They refuse the atonement. And remember the Bible says, it is not another atonement that will be sacrificed. The same atonement that these people will accept. That they refused, now they accept. Because of two witnesses, which is the Bible. When the Bible is revealed, remember that, it's as simple as that. When the Bible is revealed, it reveals Jesus Christ. When it's completely open, it reveals who Jesus Christ was. It tells the stories of how he came, how he was the Messiah, how all that is now revealed to them, which they didn't know. The Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, they are together now here, and they're given to them. And they realize, oh, this is the man that we refused. He was the Messiah. Praise be to God. It is introduction. And you remember in Ohio, 1933, what was the prophet told? That you're going to forerun. You're going to introduce Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. So 1933, you are going to introduce Jesus. You're going to forerun. Just like John forerun the first coming of the Lord. Now you're going to forerun. You're going to introduce Jesus Christ. Just like John who said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So now you shall say, behold, the bridegroom is here. Praise be to God. That is a man that was calling. Trim the lamps. That was the man that was making the people trim the lamps. Praise be to God. That is a preparation. It's a calling to tell you he's coming. He's just here. Just here. Get ready. He's here. The two witnesses were just that. There's no difference at all. It's the same. The prophet called it the Pentecostal message. That the two witnesses are preaching. It's the same. Now, another thing I would like to say before I start preaching. There's something here I would like to say. It's come to my mind a bit. Now, listen. Because this has been a big problem. People wondering, why do we have people that are... Why do we have, the message talking about... talking about the rapture. It's like sometimes it's not the rapture, sometimes it's the rapture. And that question was asked me when I was in Kenya. And this is it. The prophet was talking to two groups of people. People think he was talking to non-believers and non-believers. That's okay. That could be that. But he was talking to two groups of people. In 1963, when the seals were opened, he was still the messenger of the seventh church age. That's quite something. He was still the messenger of the seventh church age. And there are some people in the seventh church age that didn't cross over. You ask Brother Holmes, because I've met about five people. Who were actually in there when he was preaching. One of them is Brother Holmes. The other one is a brother from, other one is from Germany. I think he's from Florida. I think that brother is from Florida. We met in Kenya. And I talked to him extensively. There's people, and Jones, I didn't meet Jones, but I've seen him, what he says. He said, they didn't even understand what he was saying at that time. Even Brother Hope, they didn't understand what was happening at that time. Praise be to God. They thought he's just a great man, a man that has brought the message, and the message, they didn't get the difference between the seals are open. No, they didn't get that. He was a messenger to the seventh church age. He was still the messenger of the seventh church age. But here are some people that he's preaching to about something that is coming, about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had to do that. And some of it he even didn't know himself. Some of it he said he went home and studied and listened to himself. Because God had come and God now took his mouth and now he was talking. But sometimes when he came back, he talks about, the question was about baptism. Where was he talking about baptism? Even the last summer that he preached. He was talking to some people
Let me show you something. Let me show you something. What happens? The prophet says, a plan. This is the plan of it. He says, and this has helped me very much. This is the plan of it. This is the plan of it. A seal opens from heaven. That's exactly what a seal opens from heaven. Get that? Then it drops from heaven to a messenger here on earth. The messenger of that age. That seal, listen very carefully. That seal, when it opens, it can only go to a group of people, to a certain group of people. Prayers needed. Those are the people that can only hear. Those are the people. I can draw the people, but those are the people. Those are the people that can hear that. That seal. It is prepared for those people, nobody else. When it comes, that angel of that age preaches it. Nobody else can get it except those that were predestined for that. So what they have, listen, what they have, the people of that age, and what has come from heaven is preaching is one and the same thing. That is when the deep calls the deep. So what is talking, what that seal is, what he's talking and what these people have is the same thing. That's why it gets them. That's the only way it can get them. When it gets them, listen, when it gets them, they are sealed. The prophet says, they are sealed. They are sealed. They cannot hear nothing else. The prophet says, they are finished. What does a seal mean? What does a seal mean? What does a seal mean? A seal means finished work. I've done up. I've done with them. They're finished. They cannot have nothing else. These are the things that are coming with. Maybe it was, maybe they say this was Luther's time. Whatever is going to come with, even if you are alive, you cannot hear it. You are all best fool. You cannot get nothing else. Praise be to God. It's sealed. A seal means, one of the things a seal means is finished work. It's finished. The other thing as he says is, it's going to its destination. Destination. It's got to go to its destination. Another thing as he says is, it's mine. It's ownership. It's mine. It's mine. I'm done away. Nobody can touch it. It's going there. It must go there. It's ownership. I think I've said it right. I've strong time since I read it. In the church's book. That's what it says. Now. So when you hear these two witnesses, when they preach, there's some people, 144,000, that have that what they are preaching in Israel. Can you get that now? In them. That's why when they talk, when the prophet talks in the seventh church, when he talks, the Pentecostal things like that, they are 1,400, am I saying it? 144,000. That's 144,000 Jews that have that in them, what the prophet is. And they're going to be caught by that somehow. You say he didn't go to Israel. He didn't have to. The prophet didn't have to. He didn't have to come to Kenya for me to get saved. You say he wanted to go to Israel. That's what people say. He wanted, I don't know why, I just come. Did you know he wanted to go to Israel? And he was in Egypt, and was going, and was saying, no, just said you have ticket. And he had it, he had his ticket to go to Israel. But he changed his ticket. Why? It wasn't even necessary to go. One, it was not time. Secondly, it was not necessary to go. The people say, he didn't go there. He didn't come to Kenya. And I'm a believer. But this message have gone to Israel. Let's go to the whole world. It went to the whole world. And the 144,000 got it. Somehow, they got it. And they were sealed. Listen, and they were sealed. And when Jesus Christ came, when the seals were revealed, they knew that. And they were caught up with that. I hope you get my point. Eh? I hope you get the point. So when you hear the rapture, about the rapture of the two witnesses, it's not necessarily the two guys that are going to rapture. No, sir. Even the kid, now we know who was raptured. Now listen, it's this. Listen very carefully here. This, and I'm gonna draw somebody here talking. The one who has the trumpet. He has the trumpet. Whatever is being trumpeted, whatever is coming from this trumpet, from this man, the prophet of age, the message of age, and this is one and the same thing. If it's not one and the same thing, they're not going to get. So whatever the prophet was saying to us, it was also going to them, the 144,000. And they were getting it because they had it. God put it in their hearts. Amen. That they can believe. So they believed it. I hope it's clear. So when you talk about the rapture, let's talk about the killing of the two witnesses. It's the killing of the Bible. When was the Bible killed? Now, I'm also going to give an example. And I've given the scriptures there. You're going to read it. In the book of Numbers. You remember there's Moses was told to hit the stone, to hit the rock. Do you remember that? Moses was told to hit the rock. The people were thirsty. You remember that? The people were thirsty. And he was told to hit the rock, and he hit the rock. Is that right? God told him, hit the rock. Is that right? Do you remember that Moses was told to hit the rock again? Do you remember that? How many times did he hit? No, not to hit the rock, to speak the rock. The second time that was in Rephidim. You're going to read it. I put it there for you to read it. That was in Rephidim. I think Rephidim. It's called Rephidim. And somewhere else. That was Rephidim. I'm forgetting this other place. But both of them, the first one was the desert of sin. S-I-N, sin. The other one was the wilderness of Zin. Z-Z-I-N. You remember that? Now, in the wilderness of Zin, in the desert of Zin, Moses was told to speak to the rock. Not to hit it. Don't hit it. Don't hit the rock. Speak to the rock. And the prophet says, when he comes, he says, that was wrong. It was very wrong to hit the rock twice. Or to hit the rock even once. Because it would speak of the weakness of the word, of the weakness of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because the blood of the Lord, because Jesus Christ is having another place there to see. That's okay. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was to be shed once. Is that right? When it was shed once, it was enough. It was sufficient. Now, hitting it again shows the insufficient of it. So Moses, in type, was showing the insufficient of the word, which was not true, of the devil. Jesus Christ. Do you see that? But he was told to speak to the rock, but he hit it. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many times did he hit it the second time? When he was told to speak to it, how many times did he hit it? How many times? Does anybody know? Twice! He hit it, tuck! The water did not come back. He hit it, tuck, again. That time. The second time. So, in other words, who is the rock? Let's go slowly now. Who is the rock? Jesus Christ. I have a quote there. He's saying exactly that. I have very many of them. I had so many, I cannot put everything there. So I have just put them, just some little things there. If you want a quote for anything, just give it to me. I'll give it to you. Praise be to God. Jesus was that rock. Jesus is that rock. In fact, sometimes the prophet says, talk to the rock. He says, speak to the rock. Do you want anything? Just speak to it. There's honey, there's anything you want from it. Just speak to the rock and he'll give it to you. He's talking about Jesus Christ, speaking the rock. But Moses, instead of speaking to it, he hit it two times. Is that right? Now listen. That was a type that Jesus Christ was to be crucified three times. If the first hit was a crucifixion, the second one, the prophet said, was a crucifixion. Even the third time was a crucifixion. Praise be to God. But now I want you to notice this. The second one was, he was told to speak the rock. It was there. And he was so ugly. He said, should we give you water from this rock? And he hit it. The water didn't come back. And he hit it again. He hit it twice. Praise be to God. Can you get, just read it. I've given you the scripture right there. Now. It was the same time, so close together, for the Jews and for the crucifixion of the Jews and for the killing of the Jews and the killing for the Gentiles. It was just close together like that. It happened just like there. Until it was confused. People were waiting for another thing. But it was just right there. Happening at the same time. For Jews and for Gentiles. I hope you get that. So the only place we can go, therefore, to show that it was a crucifixion, is the same crucifixion that the prophet talked about. He talked about the second crucifixion. And according to the scriptures here, you're going to find. Sometimes I preach before I read my course. You're going to find. He was crucified. He was, no. And their bodies, the bodies of the Jew, of the two witnesses, laid in the city called Sodom, Egypt, where Jesus Christ was crucified. Was Jesus Christ crucified in Sodom? No. Was he crucified in Egypt? No. Where was he crucified? Where their bodies laid? Where was Jesus Christ crucified? Jesus Christ was crucified in Jerusalem. Is that right? Exactly. He was crucified in Calvary, Jerusalem. That was the first time. Where was he crucified the second time? He said, again, Jerusalem. He said, the greatest city. The holiest city. No, he said, Jerusalem. This is, the prophet says, the scripture says, the two witnesses were crucified in the spiritual city called Sodom and Egypt, where Jesus Christ was crucified. Spiritual, is that right? No, spiritual, the prophet says, that spiritual city that he's talking about, he says, is the holiest place. He says, where? The pulpits. By the greatest people, the preachers. Is that right? That was the crucifixion. Now I'm talking about the crucifixion or the killing of the two witnesses. Let's go there. I'm just gonna read now. I hope. Is it clear, Rebecca? Is it clear? We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about that Bible is the two witnesses. Just take it like that. That's what the prophet says. It is the two witnesses, the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. That's the two witnesses. If anybody's going to be killed, the two witnesses are going to be killed. You're going to kill the two, Old and New Testament. That is what we're going to kill. If they're going to have any rapture, it's going to be the rapture of the Old and the New Testament. Is that right, brothers? I think that's very clear. Is that right? No. Let's come here. This is. You can question it, and that's okay. If you have any question, we can talk about that. Now, listen. My comments on Sunday. We found out who the two witnesses are. That was Moses and Elijah. To call the 144,000. The 144,000 were the people who were supposed to be called and be introduced to Jesus Christ. That's right? By the two witnesses. The two witnesses are, in simple language, the Bible. When it is revealed by the seventh angel, as detailed in Revelation 10:7. Are we together or not? Are we together or not, Rebecca? Revelation 10:7 is where the seventh angel the Bible will be revealed. I don't remember it very well. but as it is written by the prophets, the prophet says, who are these prophets? He says, these prophets are the prophets who wrote the Bible. Now you talk of, because the Bible, the prophet also is going to come and say something. He's going to say, the Jews don't hear nobody else. They only hear their prophets. Is that right? Is that right? They only hear their prophets. Now this is not a Jew. William Marimaram is not a Jew. But can I show you something? He brings Jeremiah. That's the Old Testament. He brings Moses. Is Moses their prophet? Exactly. He brings Jeremiah. He brings Paul. Right there. Praise with God. They only hear their prophets. They are given their prophets. Praise with God. I hope you get that. The new, and another quote. The prophet says, the Old Testament was written by Moses. The New Testament was written by who? Paul. So the New and the Old Testament are written by the prophets of the Jews. They only hear their Jews. Unless you give them the Bible, the prophet said. And the prophet said that the Jews don't understand. He had a Jew that he was talking to. And the prophet said, they don't understand when you split God into three gods and give it to a Jew. He said, they don't understand what is that. They don't accept that. They only believe that God, the Lord God of Israel, is one God. That's what the Bible teaches. If you give them anything else, if you give them denominationalism, they don't take that. They can only take what the New Testament and the Old Testament says. All right, they come here. Let's come here. Okay. Revelation 10:7. Okay. Now the question is, how are they killed? How are they killed? Now I've given you Exodus 17:1-7. That is the first hitting of the stone, of the rock. Now Numbers 20:1-3, like that, up to 13, is actually hitting of the rock twice. He would see it twice. So to make it three times when the rock was hit. Now, Jesus, in John 6, the prophet says there, in that quote, that's the Ephesian church, he says, I'm that rock that was in the wilderness. That rock that Moses was eating was Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was hit how many times? Three times. All right, now, my comments. The prophet declaring that Jesus is crucified a second time after the six seals are revealed just before the seventh. Now listen very carefully, because I'm going to get to that also. When he's preaching the indictment, before we go to reading the book Indictment, I want you to notice something there. And I'm gonna show you something. It's in one of my comments. I want you to notice something there. I want you to notice something there. The seals were revealed. Is that right? The seals were revealed. But do you know what was revealed in the beginning of the seals? Up to that time? When it comes to the seventh, he said, there is nothing. There's nothing there. He said, it was silent. It was quiet. And when he spoke a bit, he said, I heard him touch me. I'm nabbed. You are saying this too much. It was not revealed. And he says, he could not. In many times he says, he could not reveal the seventh seal. So that far, the seventh seal was not revealed. He says, what was the seventh seal? He says, the seventh seal was his coming. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not in effect. It's not revealed yet. It's not in effect up to now, even though the seals are revealed. The book of the seals is there. It's completely revealed. In fact, one of the seventh seal, do you know that it was even expunged? Do you know that? Some of it was expunged. I don't know what was expunged. Because he called them. He called Roy Robert, I think Roy Robertson and Brother Woods. He called them to the hotel room where he was sitting. He said, come. And he preached the other part of the seventh seal. And it was still covered. He said, when he comes to the crisis, the mystery of God revealed, he said, he could not reveal it to us then. Brothers, sisters, it is still hid up until now when he's preaching the indictment. Indictment was preached July 7th, 1963. Praise be to God. Can you get that? Mark that down. It was preached on 7th, July 1963. The seventh seal is not in effect. 2 weeks after that, that is July 28th, he declared it is exactly 2:00 and the end of the first and the second seal. And the effect of the second, of the third seal now is that pool. Is it? I'm calling it the second seal. I'm talking about the third pool. Remember, that pool and the seventh seal is one and the same thing. That pool and the second, that pool and the seventh seal is, what is it? Is the coming of the Lord. Now, the effects of the coming of the Lord started exactly at 2 on 28th July 1963. So this far is not yet. But the six seals are opened. Is that clear? The six seals are opened. He's dealing about the sixth seal was opening the whole Bible. The sixth seal opened the whole Bible. Just before the seventh, which is his coming. Read your message right. Just before the opening of the seventh, which is his coming. Now the sixth introduced the Jews to him. It was here, it's complete. Because he says, in all the books. Now, and it's another question. He says that it is those seven ladders, it is those ladders, it is those ladders that opens the, okay, I'll put it in my heart, not the way he put it, that brings the restoration, that takes the people back to the restoration. That's what he says. But if you look at that, what opened the sixth seal? The prophet says, one ladder. One ladder opened that. What is a ladder? It was the voice of God that opened the six seals. Now that was open. That was open. That was there. It was open. And that opened the whole book. The whole book was there open. But the seventh seal was not in effect yet. Before it was in effect, when the fullness of the Old and New Testament was revealed, Sister Rhoda, when it was revealed, when it's revealed, the prophet declares, it is crucified. Just before the seventh comes, it is crucified. It is crucified. I must show, is in the book called The Indictment, I must show, and it will show, that the same spirit of the people today that brought the first crucifixion, the same thing, what they did in the first crucifixion, when they crucified Jesus Christ, this is exactly what they're doing, and doing the same thing. I must do that. If it's going to be a crucifixion that they crucified, I must show to the people that the same attitude in the people today is doing the same thing when the seventh seal is not yet come. When is the seventh seal revealed? He says, paragraph 105, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, and today we are now going to see what that seal meant that he could not reveal at that time. Today, that's when he was revealing it. Before it was not revealed. The prophet says, wait a minute, it was not revealed. Now, and now he starts revealing it. He says, it is in threefold. And in the seven church ages, no, seven seal, he said, it was in threefold. But he said, he didn't say what it was. He said, something came, and some came, and something came. It was kind of in parables. I could not know what it was. Now he says, it is in three. And he says, the three things about the opening of the seventh seal. What was the seventh seal? That was his coming. It was like declaring, he's here. The one that was to forerun is here now. The one that was saying, it was the Christ is the mystery of God revealed. It's like John the Baptist in the river Jordan declaring, behold them, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now, brother, behold the bridegroom that marries the bride. He's here. At the same time, declaring to the Jews, 144,000, behold the atonement that you refuse is here. He was the same. He was one. The prophet told us that was the message that was saying that. Mm-hmm. Now, he declares, it is killed. They've killed him. This that is introducing is killed. I should have put the scripture there that says, and they threw him out, and he was outside knocking. The prophet in one of the quotes, he says, they didn't have nothing to do with him. They have nothing to do with him. They hated him. They don't have nothing to do with him. They killed him. Praise be to God. That was a crucifixion. Crucifixion is killing him. He says, where? He says, Jerusalem. The holiest place. Where they were supposed to, the people that were supposed to say, this is it, when the prophet came. The people were supposed to say, this is it. We see it now. This is exactly according to the... And there was nothing. Let me say something. There was nothing here on earth that was ever vindicated. Like Brother Branham, you talk about Jesus. You talk about... I can tell you why I'm saying like that. You talk about John. Nothing. Nothing has ever been vindicated like Brother Branham here on earth. And then after all that vindication, they refused it. They ignored it. They fought it. They killed it. From where? The holiest people killing the holiest person who they were purporting to be worshipping. Praise be to God. In the holiest place. Where? Back in Jerusalem. Where? What is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is here. It's a pulpit again. The only place that God has chosen. He has chosen ministers, and he's chosen ministers to take this, and show the people where they're supposed to worship. Because you only were supposed to worship in Christ. They are the people who God ordained. He said, when he went to heaven, he got gifts and gave it to men to take the people who are the people, the highest, the top cream, are the one who killed him. And they're still killing him.
You know, the prophet in the book called Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. He says, I'll shock you that they'll do the same. And people took it. Jones was one of them. Jones took it like this killing is now going to happen. They continue killing him. But the same people killing him is a continuation of killing. Because they refused him and God left them. When Christ came and joined them, he left them. There's nothing like killing him now because they are not there even. Can you get that? They're not there. Praise be to God. The reason, God is done with them. God is done with them. There's nobody here except the bride and the 144. Now, nobody else. Nobody to kill him here now. He's safe. They are one. There's no killing. The killing that the prophet was talking about is a continuation. They are still killing him. They are still killing that which they were killing. Because they don't know this. What they know is the Pentecostal. You know, do you understand what I mean? It's a Pentecostal thing that the prophet was preaching. They don't know this. They know Christ has come. They don't know nothing. In fact, they call that fanatic. They call that, it's like we are mad. It's like we don't know where we are. We are talking about Christ has come. They don't know. But this is where we are. Christ and the bride has become one. And I'm going to lead you quotes. But now we have a church that has the 144,000. Because the church is not here. Has fallen 144,000 Jews and the bride. God dealing with them. Not necessarily being in one place. But God is dealing with those two people. If I don't need this, now you know what I'm talking about. In fact, I've preached the whole thing. But if you have a question, please. I was talking to Brother Keenan today. And Brother Keenan told me that that's the way I'm seeing it, and I like it. I agree with it. He said, when I preach to people that I know they don't know, but you know, probably, brothers. I know they don't know. And they don't ask questions. Then I'm sure they're not interested with it. That's something. So if you don't understand, please ask me a question. And even if you don't see the way I'm seeing it, just tell me. It's good. It's good. So that I can, I preached one time here. And I told Brother Don, but I don't think Brother Holmes said what I'm saying. And Brother Holmes told me, and he was very happy. He was still pointing to me because I've done a lot of drawings of the blackboard. He was pointing to Brother Sanikam. Me, I don't believe it like that. You see where you put that? I don't believe it like that, brother. I don't teach it like that, brother Stanley. And Brother Caleb grabbed his head and said, no, brother. He brought it to the point. Brother Caleb. And then he got hold of me again, and he pointed to me again. I think Brother Glenn came and, no, brother. He brought it. like that. And brother, I was someone. That night, brother, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep the whole night. I was wondering, where is this? And rather, I combined quotes and quotes and quotes and quotes about that. Because I thought I was wrong. So if you say, it's not a war, it's not a war, it's not anything. But it makes me go back. So if you think I'm not saying the right thing, just tell me, brother. And it's not war, it's not war, it's not. People here are very sensitive. A small thing they think, it's not war. This is about the word. And nobody knows everything. Nobody knows everything. Praise be to God. I respect the prophet. The prophet one time said, somebody was telling him, I have something, brother, I think is you're wrong. If whenever you have time, he said, no, I have time right now. Let's go. He wanted. Did you think that the prophet was hating them? He didn't hate them. No, he was listening, and he would just go and look at it and say, no, I still am right. Because every time when they challenged him, the prophet was always right. Praise be to God. I can be wrong. I'm a human being. I can be wrong. But this is the way I see it. And please, let's talk about it. Now, to show the churches, he said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, today, by the same word, and by the same Holy Spirit, by the same word, in other words, it's the same thing. It's the same thing we are killing. Okay? And by the same Holy Spirit, and by the same word, I wish to show the churches, there where they stand, that they are doing the same thing. And the Bible says they will do it and prove that this is the day that we are living in. This is the day they are doing it. The day they are living in. Now, listen to this. It could not be done. And I'm going to paraphrase this a bit. I'm going to put it. It could not be done later. Because it could not be done 50 years ago. It could not be done any other time. Now this is the time. The crucifixion could not be done any other time. The killing of this word, of the Old and New Testament. And I said, when they kill the New and the New Testament, they are killing the two witnesses. They are killing the message of William Branham. It could not be done. It could not be done a few years ago. I say 50 years ago. It could not be done. But today, this is a very timely. This is very timely. And it could not have been done maybe 10 years ago. Why? The Old and New Testament was not fulfilled. The fulfillment of that had not come yet. Can you get that? But now that it's come, it's standing before them. That's Christ standing before them, and they're crucifying him. The revealed word. But it can be done today because the time is run out. We are here at the end time. And I believe as his servant that we are just about to cross from this land to another. Which land is that? He said, this is a new land. Which is a new land, brothers? Which, he was saying, 1965, preaching the book called, which book was that? Indivisible Union. He said, this is a new land. He said, just like those guys who come from Europe and were coming here and they were giving thanks because of that, we have found a new land. Yeah. On July, he was saying, we are just about to cross to it. Where was that? Christ was just about to come. In 2 weeks, it's declared, now it's in effect. Now we are getting in there. We are getting in heavenly places. What is heavenly places? Our position in Christ. We are getting into Christ. He's come. 1963, 28th July, 2 weeks after this. This is very timely. It's now. All right, let me finish. No, it's not even, it's not really. But, okay, now, today, because the time is run out, okay, we are crossing over to another lad, to another. We are going to another lad right now. My comment. It could not have been done earlier. I've written there, you can read it. It could not have been done later for this indictment. That later, I just put it there. You can read it. But to me, it could not be done later. Praise be to God. This crucifixion of the two witnesses could not have been done later. They continued. That's why these denominations are here. Against the word. They will continue to their consummation. They will continue to their lives. Praise be to God. Because unless they see this, they are lost, as lost can be. Praise be to God. Mm-hmm. Not only that, that which was now introducing them now has become something that you cannot stay in. And whoever is in that, the prophet called it Matthew 24:24. They would deceive the very elect if it was possible. He called it Jin and Jabel, coming against Moses. But that's another thing. Okay. It could not have been earlier, and it could not have been later. For this indictment. So I'd write that one is me. That one is me. Because there's no quote for that. Later. Okay. Been later. For this indictment. It was after the Bible. The six seals were revealed. When Revelation 10:7 was fulfilled. That's my statement. This indictment was 7th of July 1963. The seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, was preached and came to effect at 2 p.m. July 28th 1963. In tape. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. I put it there so that I don't want it to get lost. I want the people to look at that. Okay, now, I'm going to read scripture there. We are going back there and see how was it said that he's going to be crucified. Now we have a picture. Revelation 11:7-10, KJV. Okay, 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, all is accomplished. When the Old Testament was fulfilled when Jesus Christ said it's done, is right. Now again, when the New Testament is fulfilled, when it's completely revealed now, the testimony, the beast that I said there, who is the beast? Is always Rome, is right? The beast is always Rome. The dragon is always Rome. Remember that the beast is Rome. It's the Roman Catholic Church, is right? Now, but he has daughters. He says, all the other denominations are his daughters. That is the mother, those are his daughters. So that's right. And out of bottomless pit, what is the bottomless pit? I think you know. His doctrine does not have a base. That's what the prophet said. I think that's what he said in the book called Why I'm Against Organized Religion? Something. I think they said that something. But he said that's why it's bottomless. It doesn't have any from the bottomless pit. Shall make war against them. Shall come against the witnesses. Shall come against the revealed word when it is revealed by William Aaron Branham. When I hope you get that. They'll come against the Bible. When the revelation comes, they'll come against it. When they come against it, come against them and shall overcome them. It looks like they have overcome them. That's why they were able to throw him outside and he's knocking at the door. Is that right? He's knocking at the door and kill them. And kill them where? They crucified him from the pulpit. Is that right? All right. Mm-hmm. Brother Branham finishes my comment. After Brother Branham finishes the revelation of the Bible, the denominations, the WHO and her daughters come against the message. They come against that message. I've written it there. There, the greatest religious... Okay. There, the greatest religious city. The most religious people. That is the book called Indictment. They are the most religious people. Crucified most shameful death. Him, the most precious person. If that aren't enough to condemn this generation. Because they crucified him. They are the most religious organization. The biggest of all the churches. Gathered together in one place. They, the most religious people. All the races. The people who are supposed to be the very worshippers of God. This new cavalry. Listen. This new cavalry. That was old cavalry in Jerusalem. This new cavalry. It's a church so-called most holy places. Great pulpits. Catholicism altar. Catholic altar. Call their pulpit. The Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, the Pentecostals, the most holy places. There he receives his hardest pierces. A new cavalry. Where is it found at? In the holy place, the church. If that is not Jerusalem, I don't know where that is. Call that Jerusalem. This movie, that's Jerusalem, that's the most holy place. Okay, he goes in. Where is he crucified at? From the pastors. Hypocrites. You know better than that. I'm not angry, but I'm something inside of me is stirring. God has been thoroughly, listen. God has been thoroughly identifying among you. Nobody could say this is not God working. Nobody could say. He went around the world, nobody could say that. God had done his best. He showed him who else. The two witnesses. Okay, now. Revelation 11, then the next verse. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city. Their dead bodies shall lie in the great city. Which is spiritually is called Sodom. You remember? Whenever you see a Sodom and Egypt and things like that, remember it's darkness. And the prophet says, darkness is death. Darkness is death. He has said about 3 times. Just like that. Darkness, death. Just that. Praise be to God. That's where death was. Where also our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ was not crucified in Egypt. He was not crucified in Sodom. My comments. The second crucifixion happened in spiritual Jerusalem, which is denominational pulpits. I've put that there. Where did he get his spears at? In his side? Where did he get his pierces on Calvary? Where does he get it today? In the pulpit. Where do they come from? Jerusalem. Where do they come from? The denomination today. The ones who claimed to have love, that's who did it. That's who does it today. His second Calvary, where he receives his pierces against the word, that's what pierces him. Who is he? He's the word. He's the word. Where is he pierced at? The hardest from the pulpit. In the holy places. In the holy places. Just like it was then. All right. Now, I got to pray. I think I'm going very fast. I think I'm not skipping. Am I? Are we together? Is everyone together? Cameron is saying yes. We're together. That's good. Cameron, okay. Revelation 11, 9 to 10. And they are the people and creeds of tongues and nation shall see their dead bodies. Shall see their dead bodies. 3 days and a half. Whenever you see 3 days and a half, that was the last week. That was the last week of the Jewish people in their visitation. By God. God had given them 70 weeks, the last piece of the last week. It must be, you know, it's just like when the Bible says that he laid in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, you see. The Muslim has a question on that's a lie on the Bible. But the prophet says it touched every day. One every day of them. The prophet says it touched every one of them. that Saturday. I don't know, Saturday, Sunday, something. I think Sunday, something like that. I think Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He touched each one of them. And that shows, those were the 3 days that he was there. So even when it says the three, don't imagine that they died and stayed there for 3.5 years. No. But it was in that 3.5 years, that's where they killed him, and that's why they stayed there. What by the way, and what were their bodies? Listen. The letter killeth. That's a scripture. The letter killeth. This Bible is dead. When they refuse the revelation, that's a dead body right there. They want to go with a dead body. They said, no, we want this. We want this. We want to stay with it. So they stayed with the dead body, with the dead two witnesses. And they still have it. It's dead. They think they know what it means. They don't. That's where they, even when they come to the baptism, water baptism, they cannot even know that it's not in the name of the Father, of the Son. It's not that. It's in the, they cannot even see that. It's dead. It's a dead body to them. The letter killeth. It's just there. It's dead. It doesn't have a life. Where do you know it? It's quickened. God has put life in it. Now you know. You read the Bible, you read in a sentence, and you know what it means. You somehow, if you don't, just read it again. Pray. God is going to give you a revelation. God is going to give you. It's quickened. It's alive now. All right. There's a door upon the earth. Okay. Dead bodies. 3 days and a half. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. They want it. They wanted to stay there. And they that dwell upon the earth, verse 10, they dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them and make merry. What is that? This is something that the Romans, the pagan Rome used to do. Whenever they are celebrating, this is celebration. They are celebrating. It crashes outside and looks. Did you know, brother, it came to a place where it looks completely dark. Completely dark. But it is at that time, that hour, that Jesus came and joined with the bride. When he was knocking, he was thrown out. It was the prophet, he said, that was the worst. That's the worst scripture in the Bible. He was thrown out. It is that time. It was dark, but they were celebrating. They felt that they are won. The dragon and the beast, they have won. The what do you call it? The conglomeration of churches. What do you call that? All right, whatever. I'm remembering in Swahili now. Is all the churches coming together. The image of the beast. Are they all the churches?
World Council.
World Council churches. World Council of churches. All gathered together. Praise be to God. Mm-hmm. And they make merry. They are very happy. And everything. They were very happy. Brother, I've been in the internet a bit looking at the brother. They have every bad thing about Brother Branham. Very bad things here. Very bad things. They are happy. They think they defeated him. You know, he didn't come back to them. You know that? He didn't come back to them. He's not even talking to them. In the church ages, he was talking to both us and them. Here, he's not even talking to them. They thought they won. They are still in celebratory mode. They still think they are killing him. They're still continuing. He cannot go back to them. He's done with them. He's got what he wanted. What did he want? He wanted his 144,000, and that's all he wanted. He got it. He's rested. That's why we are in a spiritual millennium. Praise be to God. No, but he's not dealing with anybody else. And he's not speaking to nobody else. He's speaking only to two groups of people. The 144,000 and this. But remember, they are not the same. The 144,000 and the bride are not the same. This 144, this the bride. If you read at the first there, he's going to say, he's going to tell John, take the measurement and measure the temple. And the temple, leave the outside because it's for Gentiles. And the Gentiles, the what of Jerusalem they trod until something, 40 and 2 weeks, something like that. They are not together. Remember, they are not together. This is very important. Listen, this is very important. This was his people. But this is piece of him. The bride is so close to him that whoever he is, whoever Jesus Christ is, they are one. They are in a position that no anybody else can get. Not even the angels.
That is his wife. Praise be to God. But there's 144 that it was his people as a nation. He says he deals with them as a nation. But now remember, the kind of dealing now he's doing is not the kind of dealing he was doing in the church ages. No. No, no, brother. He could not have dealt with, he could not have had us together. The bride and the Gentile bride, and he could not have. But now it's over. Praise God. The redemption is over. The work of redeeming is over. It's over. The work is over now. He's gotten what he wanted. What he bought, what he worked for. He's here now. He's got it. All right. I think this is not very hard. Okay. Now about they were doing that, Brother Don. They were saying, the prophet says in another quote, and that's even history, that there were white stones to abide. There were white stones in the Roman government, in the Roman people, in the Roman pagan something. They were buying, whenever they were celebrating something, a big something has happened, or they have won a battle or something like that, they were buying white stones and sending one to the other. They were sending a white stone one to the other. It's celebratory. In other words, they are in celebratory mode because they threw Christ out. They think they've killed him, he's done. That's what they're thinking. Okay, now, the Retakires, they had the Bible without revelation, without the Holy Ghost, to reveal and quicken the Bible. That's my comments. My comments again in verse 10. That was a custom of the Romans when they were happy and celebrating, showing Antichrist full of full joy after they threw Jesus Christ out. That's the Bible. All right. That's what they threw the Bible out. Now, that's about, and I still have, I don't have time, but I don't know whether I reach there. And we talk about the rapture next time. Can I leave it there, Brother Don? And I think we can leave it there, because if I get to the rapture, this is 8:20 something. It's 8:30, and it's going to go. It's going to go. It will be another 40 minutes or so, and I don't want to get into that. So let me just leave it there. We have talked about the killing of you've seen that, the killing of the Bible, the killing of the two witnesses, the killing of the Old and New Testament. We have seen that. That was the second crucifixion. The second crucifixion was actually crucifying the same thing, and it was happening to them, and it was happening to the Jews. It was just the same thing. It was Jesus Christ being crucified when it was revealed by William Manbron. The next thing is the rapture of the two witnesses. The rapture of the two witnesses. I think if I have another maybe even about 40 minutes next time, just about 40 minutes, maybe sometimes. No, I'm not asking for another one, but if you people give me another 40 minutes somewhere along the way, I can bring the rapture, and I'm going to show you there was a rapture. There are six raptures. There are six raptures in total. There are three in the Old Testament, and there are three in the New Testament. The first rapture was Enoch. The second rapture was Elijah. The third rapture, he calls them the rapture. But I'm going to show you the rapture of Thessalonians. Now, there's another rapture, the third rapture in the Old Testament, which was the rapture of Jesus Christ. The rapture of Jesus Christ. And he says, that was between the old and new. So he died and rose up again and raptured. Now, the first rapture in the New Testament at the New Testament, when they came from paradise and they raptured and they stayed there for 40 days and they went to the sixth dimension. Now, that's that. Paradise was done away with. They were taken to the sixth dimension. Now, that was the first rapture of the New Testament. Now, then the second rapture of the New Testament, was of Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4. Now, that was the rapture of the church. That was the rapture of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you exactly what he says about the rapture of the church. And that is actually the rapture of the two witnesses. Because it happened the same time, but it's called the third rapture. The third rapture is the rapture of the two witnesses. This is the rapture of the two witnesses. But they happened the same. Just like Moses, hid the stone, hid the rock, bang, bang, at the same time. It happened the same time. The crucifixion happened the same time. The calling happened the same time. It was the same thing that it was introducing the bride. Same thing. Even the rapture. Even Jesus. The second coming of Jesus Christ. It's not another Jesus. It's the same Jesus that the 144 will go to. I think we can get there. Let's pray. These things, Father, they're so much there, and sometimes we go of them and we don't understand until you hold our hearts, Father, and take us there.
Father, you are so fatherly. You are so sweet. You are so fatherly, Lord. And we are so thankful. Help. Help our being unfaithful. Help our lack of faith. Help our lack of trust on you, because you're so good, Father. There's nothing that should make us not trust you, Lord. Help us. Get us closer to you, Lord, because you're so good, Lord. We want to get deeper into you, Lord. Know you better, Father. Open our understanding, Lord. And forgive our shortcomings. We are human beings. We are people. We realize that. And many a time we find ourselves doing things that are not. But Lord, take all the pride and humble us down to a place where we will always look up unto you and look for your help, Lord, and come to you. I see when children get scared and they see things that scares them, they run to their fathers, Lord. And when we see these things and we don't know what they mean, Lord, you are Father, and you've proven to be our Father, a caring Father. We are supposed to be running to you and calling upon your name. And you've never failed us in one time, Lord. For our needs, Lord, we put them again on your heart. And we know, Lord, you're not an thou frustrated. You're not happy that sometimes we get frustrated. You are happy that we are happy, because you are the most perfect Father, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for everything, Lord. We give honor and glory unto you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. So thank you. Do I just edit there? Okay, I just edit there. And may God bless you. May God bless you. We can greet one another.